Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
The Scripture says, "Test the spirits to see whether they are of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 following. Welcome to our study of Islam. Today we're going to be looking at the Prophet Muhammad. Was Muhammad a prophet of God, or was he a religious imposter? Islam stands or falls on whether or not Muhammad was really a prophet of God. Remember, it is Muhammad who claimed that the angel Gabriel gave him the Quran. It is Muhammad who claims that God told him to go and preach these lessons, and Muslims across the world believe that Muhammad is the greatest of all prophets. Well, does the evidence from Islam itself support that Muhammad is a prophet? The sources in which we're going to be using today are the Quran itself, the Sahih Bukhari and the Sahih Muslim, which are considered the most reliable hadith, that is, accurate recounts of Muhammad's life. Then we'll be looking at the Sunni Muslim scholar, who is the most well-known, Ibn Sa'ad. Then we'll also use several other biographies, several collections of various hadiths. And then finally we'll use a prominent historical scholar in Islam, Al-Tabari. Now, all these sources, here what I want you to know about these sources. As we examine the evidence today, we're not using Christian or Jewish sources. We're using Muslim sources. We're going to people they trust, to their own alleged holy book, and to the accurate accounts of the life of Muhammad, so that as we examine the evidence, we won't look at it in a biased way, as though it were a Christian or Jew looking at it, but rather as someone who's examining their own documents. Now, here's what God says. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 20, God said, "But the prophet who speaks a word presumptuously in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, that prophet shall die." In fact, God goes on to say, you don't have to worry about his message. What he says, if it doesn't come to pass, don't let his message bother you. He's not a prophet of God. And so we want to examine, did Muhammad's prophecies, did his messages, is his life in accord with what he taught in the Quran? As we examine these things, we also want to note what Muhammad himself said in Al-Tabari chapter 6, verse 111. Muhammad said, "I have fabricated things against God which have imputed to him words which he has not spoken." Now, friend, from the outset, that raises some suspicion. I've fabricated things. The word fabricated means lied. And so, in some of their own sources, Muhammad will at times say, come out and say, well, I made that up. Or that may have not really been what God said. Maybe Satan said that. And so that raises some suspicion. Let's think then about Muhammad's life. Let's think about what proofs we could look at. There are really two strong proofs. We first recognize, to show that Muhammad is not really a prophet of God, I want you to realize that at one time, Muhammad actually claims and admits he spoke in the name of false gods. The second proof, as we think about Muhammad, he's also a false prophet. He did not really live up to what he said. Can I know that Muhammad spoke in the name of false gods? One of the most critical and one of the greatest proofs to show that Muhammad is not a prophet of the God of the Bible is the satanic verses. Now, listen carefully. We learn about these satanic verses not from Christian or Jewish sources, but from early Muslim writings. Accounts of the satanic verses are given in a number of early sources, including the Ibn Ishaq, the Waqadi, the Ibn Sa'ad, Al-Tabari, all these Muslim sources. Many of those whom we really are not familiar with as far as their names and how to give them accurately, these sources, a host of them, admit, yes, these satanic verses do exist. Now, as you think about these verses, in Sahih al-Bukhari, which is the most trusted and recognized hadith account of the life of Muhammad, he gives an indirect confirmation himself of this event. Beyond this, certain verses of the Quran, chapter 17 and chapter 22, were revealed in response to Muhammad's embarrassing lapse into polytheism. And so their most recognized hadith gives proof of it, and Muhammad had to actually go back and put some verses in the Quran to kind of gloss over the mistake that he made. These verses, the background of them is, when the Messenger of God, when Muhammad supposedly saw how his tribe turned their backs on him and was grieved to see them shunning the message, he brought to them from God, he longed his soul that something would come to him. He wanted a message from God which would reconcile this tribe. And so with love for his tribe and his eagerness for their welfare, it would have delighted him if some of the difficulties which they made for him could have been kind of smoothed out or glossed over. And thus, he debated it in himself and desired that something would really happen. And so, out of a desire to reconcile these tribes, these verses come. Recorded in Al-Tabari, the verses say, "Have you fought upon Al-Lat and Al-Uzza and Manat, the third and the other? Satan cast on his tongue because of his inner debate and what he desired to bring to the people, the words. These are the high-flying cranes. Verily, their intercession is accepted with approval." The polytheists were delighted that Muhammad had at last approved of their gods. To return this kindness, they prostrated themselves because of the reference to the gods which they have heard, as there was no one in the mosque, who a believer or unbeliever, who did not prostrate himself. And so the background is this. Muhammad has been reconciled with his tribe because he's earnestly wanting. He's really in a tear between the two. He wants to be reconciled to his tribe, yet he wants these people to receive the message of God. The only thing is, his tribe is polytheist. And thus, what does Muhammad do to kind of gloss things over? He puts their gods in. Verses in the Quran. The birds, the high-flying cranes, those were gods of his tribe. And he says in the Quran, it's okay for you to prostrate yourself to these birds. Muhammad's friendly relations with the polytheist, however, were short-lived. For he soon learned that this verse, the verses he just came up with, praising pagan idols, listen, came not from God, but from Satan. Saddened to recognize his treachery against Allah, Muhammad lamented, "I have fabricated things against God which have imputed to him words which he has not spoken." Yet Gabriel went on supposedly to comfort Muhammad, informing him that all prophets fall for Satan's tricks from time to time. Now friend, I want you to not only realize that this is not only confirmed by history, not only confirmed by the hadith, their accurate recollections of Muhammad's life, but the Quran itself confirms that this happened. In the Quran, chapter 22, verse 55, listen to what it says. "And we did not send before you any apostle or prophet, but when he desired," that is the Satan, "made a suggestion respecting his desire, but Allah annuls what Satan cast. Then does Allah establish his communication, as Allah is knowing and wise." Basically, Muhammad has to go back and correct this, and he says, no apostles or prophets before. That one verse that I let in, Satan is actually the author of that. Now, friend, I want you to listen real carefully. At one point, Satan inspired Muhammad. That message from Satan actually worked its way into the Quran, and the Quran and Muhammad himself actually admit that he fabricated things that God did not say. And thus it's clear that the Prophet of Islam, on at least one occasion, delivered a message that did not come from God. It's also clear that Muhammad, on at least one occasion, spoke in the name of false gods. Now, friend, here's the question I would ask. And the implication is very simple. The Scriptures teach that a prophet who speaks something presumptuously, he's not God's prophet. Muhammad spoke presumptuously, therefore, he's not a prophet of God. Failing to observe these limits, it's not permitted. God cannot allow that. It's not right. Muhammad, he spoke on behalf of false gods. Therefore, he's not a prophet of God. Because Satan, he says, inspired him, and he spoke on behalf of Satan, whose prophet is he? Friend, he is a prophet of the devil, not a prophet of Almighty God. Here's another implication. The Scriptures teach that a prophet who speaks something presumptuously is not God's prophet. Failing to observe the limits of what is permitted or allowed teaches that one is not presumptuous. One is presumptuous. Now think about this. Muhammad was actually inspired by Satan. What can I know from that? He's not God's prophet. Friends, here's what I would ask. If at one time Muhammad said something that was not true, then I can know he's not a prophet of God. And if at least on one occasion Muhammad in the Quran was inspired by Satan, then here's the big question I would ask. How many other times? How do I know what is from God, what's from Satan, and what might be questionable? If he did it once, and if at one time he spoke something that wasn't true, then you can cast all of it out. Muhammad was not. Listen carefully. It is proof positive. Muhammad was not a prophet of God. He was a religious imposter, and his messages are not messages that the Christian has to worry about. How do we label Muhammad? Muhammad, like many in the Old Testament, and like many in the days of Jesus, is a false prophet. Jesus warned us of these kind of teachers when he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Muhammad fits that. Now, there are also four Muslim proofs that Muslims will claim that Muhammad is a prophet, and we want to examine these to show that even their own proofs don't add up. They will claim that certain supernatural events relative to his life point to him as a prophet or priest. They will say that Muhammad's status as the illiterate creator of the Quran shows that he's not a prophet. They will then allege that Muhammad's prophecies point to his status as a prophet. Now, we've already seen some of those weren't true, and they will say Muhammad's miracles point to his status as a prophet. Now, the first proof they say is certain supernatural events around his life. Here are those. Allegedly, at 3 years old, two angels took out Muhammad's heart, cleaned it with ice water, and put it back. A Christian monk saw a cloud protecting Muhammad and marks on his body, and thus he said Muhammad was a prophet. There was an Nestorian monk in Mecca by the name of Warwick ibn Nawfal. He affirmed his status, and then, of course, they will say the revelation of Gabriel at Quran at Mount Hijra. Now, what about these supernatural events? Well, who knows whether they really happened or not? How do you really know if at the age of three, two angels took out his heart and cleaned it with ice water? How do you really know a monk saw this or these events occurred? All of this is so suspect. There's nothing really that you can say this definitely happened. This is proof positive that he is a prophet of God. But what about his status as illiterate creator of the Quran? Muslims claim that Muhammad was illiterate. That's true. Then the writing of the Quran may have indeed been a great miracle. But was he really illiterate? The proof text that we use is in the Quran, chapter 7, verse 157. It reads, "Those who follow the apostle, the unlettered prophet, whom they find mentioned in their own scriptures, in the law and the gospel, for he commands them what is just and forbids them what is evil, he allows them as lawful what is good." Now, they will say this word unlettered actually means illiterate. The only problem is there are multiple other meanings for this. The Arabic word could mean just simply Gentile prophet, could mean prophet of the common people, could mean a prophet without a scripture, and the last and least likely is illiterate prophet. And so the evidence does not support Muhammad being illiterate. In fact, Muhammad, we know, was a great writer. The hadith of Ibn Sa'ad alludes to this fact when he said, "The prophet, may Allah bless him, fell ill on Thursday. Thereupon he, Ibn Abbas, began to weep and say, 'Woe be to this Thursday, what a Thursday. The illness of the prophet, may Allah bless him, became severe.' He said, 'The prophet said, bring an ink pot and something, paper or papyrus, to write on.' And listen now, he said, 'I shall write for you a document that you will never be misguided.'" Wait a minute. I thought he was illiterate.
Yet Muhammad himself said, I'm going to write for you a great document, and so supernatural events don't hold up. His illiterate status as creator of the Quran does not hold up. Well, what about some of Muhammad's miracles? We'll go back and talk about his prophecies, but what about his alleged miracles? Muslims claim that Muhammad performed miracles, and this is further proof that he is a prophet of God. What are these miracles? In the Quran, chapter 17, verses 90 through 94, and they say, we will by no means believe you until you cause a fountain to gush forth from the earth for us, or you should have a garden of palms and grapes in the midst of which you should cause rivers to flow forth, gushing out. Or you should cause the heaven to come down upon us in pieces as you think, or bring Allah and the angels face to face with us. Or you should have a house of gold. Or you should ascend to heaven. Or we will not believe in you until you bring down a book which we may read. Say, glory be to my Lord, and I am but a mortal apostle. And nothing prevented the people from believing when the guidance came to them, except they said, what has Allah raised up to be a mortal, to be an apostle? Here the people are saying, show us a miracle. Why don't you do a sign? We'll believe if you can actually do these things. In fact, in the Quran, chapter 2, verse 118, Muhammad said, they said, why does the sign not come to us? Chapter 6, verse 38, why has no sign been sent down upon him, Muhammad, from his Lord? Chapter 13, verse 7, why has a sign not been sent down upon him from the Lord? You are only, they said, a warner. And so what do we know about Muhammad's miracles? He just didn't perform any. There's no account of it, no recollection of it. The late Sunni scholar, Muhammad Asad, candidly admitted in the message of the Quran that he didn't perform any miracles. The highly elliptic sentence has a fundamental bearing on the purport of the Quran. As in many places, the Quran stresses the fact, listen, that the Prophet Muhammad, despite his being the last and greatest of God's apostles, listen now, was not empowered to perform miracles. He just didn't perform miracles. It's just not in there that he did. And so we think about the Quran. We think about all the things that are there, and we ask, was Muhammad really a prophet of God? Is he one who truly lived by his own teaching? Let's take just a moment to think about Muhammad's teaching and some of the things that he taught, and let's see if his life really adds up to that. Concerning violence, you know, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 18 that if a prophet doesn't say the right thing and live right and do right, he's not a prophet of God. What about Muhammad? What did he say concerning violence? In the Quran, chapter 5 and verse 28, Muhammad said, even if you stretch out your hand against me to kill me, I shall not stretch out my hand against you to kill you. I fear Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Well, did Muhammad live up to that idea? Did he abstain from violence? Not at all. Muhammad is known to have murdered many, many people. Kabin al-Sharaf is one. Allah's messenger said, who is willing to kill Kabin al-Sharaf? Who has hurt Allah and his apostle? And one of Muhammad's messengers said, I'll do it. And Muhammad said, go and kill him. Over and over again, you will find examples of multiple people that Muhammad killed. Now, let's think about the number of wives that the Quran allows. In the Quran, chapter 4, verse 3, here's what it says. If you fear, talking to the people of Islam, if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with the orphans, marry women of your choice, 2, 3, or 4, but if you fear that you shall not be able to deal justly with them, then only one, or a captive that your right hand possesses, that will be more suitable to prevent you from doing justice. And so, besides the fact that God says you could deal with 2 or 3 or 4 wisely, which I don't know any man that could do that, and keep himself right, Muhammad allowed them up to 4, God supposedly allowed them up to 4 women at one time. Well, did Muhammad follow that? How many wives did Muhammad have? Muhammad had multiple wives. The list goes on and on, up to 11 various wives. Well, I thought God only said 4. Muhammad had 11. Muhammad himself didn't even keep what the Quran says concerning that. Muhammad lived in many ways as a man who did not follow up to the teaching and to all that he said. In fact, I want to relate to you one of the most disturbing stories about Muhammad. And friend, I think this will stress to you, of all the evidence we'll give, from the satanic verses, to his failure to keep the Quran himself, I believe this is the strongest proof that Muhammad was not a good, godly man. Let me relate this story to you. The Prophet, this is concerning the marriage to his last wife, one of his latter wives, it states this, "The Prophet engaged me when I was a girl of 6 years. We went to Medina and stayed at the home of an individual. Then," she says, "then I got ill and my hair fell down. Later on, my hair grew again and my mother came to me while I was playing in a swing with some of my girlfriends. She called me and I went to her. Not knowing what she wanted me to do, she caught me by the hand and made me stand at the door of the house. History further records, she states, I was breathless then, and when my breathing became all right, she took some water, rubbed my face and head with it, then she took me into the house. There in the house, I saw some women who said, best wishes and Allah's blessing and good luck. Then she entrusted me to them, and they prepared me for marriage. Unexpectedly, Allah's apostle came to me in the forenoon, and my mother handed me over to him. And at that time, I was a girl of 9 years of age." Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. 6 years old, she is engaged to Muhammad. At the age of 9 years old, a 9-year-old girl marries a 40-plus-year-old man. Khadijah died 3 years before the Prophet departed to Medina. He stayed there for 2 years, and so he married Aisha when she was a girl of 6 years age. Now listen, this is their own record. Sahih al-Bukhari, their most trusted source, says Muhammad consumed the marriage to Aisha when she was 9 years old. Further record reports, the Prophet married her when she was 6 years old. He consummated his marriage when she was 9 years old, and then she remained with him for 9 years. Again, these are trusted sources. They don't even begin to deny this, but I want you to just stop and think about it. A 40-year-old man becomes married to a 6-year-old girl, and he consummates the marriage to her at 9 years of age. Friend, we know what type of label to put on Muhammad. It's not prophet, it's pedophile. Muhammad, by our standards today, and no doubt by the standards of God, would be labeled as a pedophile. Think about what he did to this little girl. Sahih Muslim records this. Aisha reported that Allah's apostle married her when she was 7 years old, and he was taken to his house as a bride when she was 9. Now listen to this. And her dolls were with her. And when he died, she was 18 years old. Now you just stop and think about it. You ask yourself, is this a prophet of God? Aisha, this little 7-year-old girl, is taken to be the wife of a 40-plus-year-old prophet. And when he takes her as wife, he says, oh yeah, bring your baby dolls with you. Now friend, I want you to think, is that someone who would be considered as a prophet of God? Is that someone you'd say, oh, boy, I'd sure like to follow his example? Friend, Muhammad was not a prophet. The evidence doesn't add up. The satanic verses show he was at least at one time inspired by Satan. Supposedly God said about Muhammad in chapter 33, verse 21 of the Quran, surely in the messenger of God you have a good example. Friend, I ask you this. Does a 50-year-old man consummating a marriage to a 9-year-old girl appear to be a godly example for you to follow? It doesn't to me. In fact, it's proof positive, along with all the other evidence, it's proof positive Muhammad was not a prophet of God, that he is not trustworthy, and that he did many... There's multiple evidence. Time will not permit us to show the many things he said in the Quran and the exact opposite of what he did in his life. But save it to say, Muhammad did not live up to what he taught, and the evidence shows that he was not right with Almighty God, and thus he had many things in his life which prove him not to be the right person. Now, let me just give you one other example. Concerning adultery, Muhammad's son Zayd, he had a wife by the name of Zainab, and one day Muhammad looked upon this woman and he thought he'd like to have her. And yet, Muslim law permitted that to be the case. Well, what often is the case when a man wants something and he claims to be a prophet of God, but his messages go against it? Well, as was the case with Joseph Smith, aha! New scripture seems to arrive. Here's what it said. In the Quran, chapter 33, verse 37, it says, "When you've said to him whom Allah had shown favor and to whom you'd shown a favor, keep your wife to yourself and be careful of your duty to Allah, and you concealed in your soul that Allah would bring to light, and you feared men, and Allah had a greater right that you should fear him. But when Zaid had accomplished his want of her, we gave her to you as wife, so that there should be no difficulty for the believers in respect to the wives of their adopted sons when they have accompanied their one of them, and Allah's command shall be performed." What's all that saying? In the Quran it said, you can't marry your adopted son's wife. Muhammad wanted to have her, and so, boom, out of heaven, new revelation arrives. It's okay for Muhammad to have this when his adopted son is done with her. Now, friend, is that really the kind of message God would give? Absolutely not. What can I know about Muhammad? He was not a trustworthy man. He is one who told multiple lies. He did multiple things contrary to the Quran itself. But more importantly, these are the two main proofs. At one time, he was inspired by Satan. He fabricated things that God did not tell him to. He had to go back and later correct it. And if he did it at once, how can I ever trust it? And a 50-year-old man consummating a marriage to a 9-year-old girl, that's not a prophet, that's a pedophile. And so, do I need to be concerned about the message of the Quran? Absolutely not. Muhammad was not a prophet of God, and therefore, I don't have to worry about his message. I need to put my trust in God and the Bible.